Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Well done, those of you who read in other languages. We could not understand a word of it, but it was done very well. So thank you very much. It's much appreciated. Some of you who know me know that I have been involved in youth ministry since I myself was a youth. In particular, I was a part of the Lutheran Youth Organization, and so last Sunday there was a celebration of that ministry at our synod office over in Catonsville, and as part of that we were telling stories, and my dear friend Julie Stecker, who was the youth and family ministry coordinator for years, she told a story about the first youth event that she did in that new role. She was very excited about this new role, and she had all the gifts and all the training to be ready for it, but there was one part of the job that she was dreading. And that was when it came to our first youth event, she had to pack and unload the van for the event. And so she spent weeks gathering all the necessary supplies, and she spent much of that day where the retreat began packing it up at the Synod office to drive out to Marlew Ridge. And then when she got there, she confessed to the associate director of Marlew Ridge, "I'm exhausted. I can't even fathom, like, now unpacking this whole van to take everything where it belongs." And she started to get up and go, and he stopped her and he said, "What are you doing? In 2 hours, 50 youth are going to be here. They can do it in no time." And so, of course, that is exactly what happened. 2 hours later, those youth showed up. In 5 minutes, everything had been distributed well across Marlew Ridge. And she learned in that moment that we can, in fact, lean on one another, that we do not have to do it alone. If only all of the overwhelming problems in our lives and our world were so simple as unloading that van with 50 pairs of youth hands. I really do feel badly for the disciples, where they are when we read the gospel this morning, because as you heard Lessa read, they are stuck again in that upper room. For Jesus did many signs and wonders, but now here they are holding the bag. They are the ones responsible for carrying forward the ministry of Jesus. Now, it's a good bag, right? But it's a lot. And to add to the weight of it, they are grieving and afraid. How can they possibly carry on with just life, let alone with the mission of Jesus to love and baptize and teach and forgive and gather and proclaim the good news? Do you ever find yourself wondering that? Maybe you remember a time when you were in a crisis situation and you were in a group and you looked around to see who the adult in the room was who would handle the situation, only to realize that the adult in the room was you. It's a scary thought. But when you're just trying to somehow pay the bills and manage your health and care for your loved ones, how do you begin to look beyond that, to build community and share faith and do justice? Well, here we have before us today proof that the disciples must have figured it out. Or rather, that when the Holy Spirit was poured out on them, both as the breath of Jesus, the breath of God, giving them a purpose and a place, and as the rush of a violent wind, both creating and harmonizing disparate communities into a chorus of faith and hope, dreams and visions. That when the Holy Spirit showed up, the church became. And the church is, in fact, still becoming, even in the midst of the chaos of the world today. And it's not as though when that happened on that first Pentecost celebration when the tongues of fire appeared and they all understood. It's not as though from that moment on they were all on the same page. They had it all figured out. It all made sense. There was still confusion and diversity of culture and opinion, but they were one in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit showing up meant that they would never again stay locked in an upper room. In fact, the Holy Spirit was beyond their control, that as much as they wanted to cling to the safety of that small community, Jesus had called them out. The Holy Spirit had driven them out, and it would drive them into the calling to which they had been called. It would drive them, as we heard last Sunday, to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And as we hear today, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. There is no end to where God's Spirit is at work. And so, through the Holy Spirit, God is going to show up. Maybe on not on your time frame, but God is going to show up to your son who has written off faith and the church long ago. The Holy Spirit is somehow going to break into this next generation that seems so lost and awaken them to their need to be in community, loving community, to be a part of loving one another. The Holy Spirit is going to show up in and through people of different languages and cultures and life experiences and help us to learn from one another. Every day, the Holy Spirit shows up in Bible study and in worship, but also in AA meetings and in hospital rooms. My friend who was about to unload that whole van all on her own, my friend Julie, she learned a lesson that day. She learned a lesson that I am sure was what helped her to get through just a few years ago now, when her husband and our friend Matt died. And she was left, as those disciples were, holding the bag, except in her case, the bag was two twin boys, a year old. But she knew that she could depend upon the community of faith to walk with her, to cry with her, to babysit for her, to eat with her. It is, I know, too easy to feel like those disciples in that upper room. But we are invited to open our eyes and see the movement of the Spirit, to break out of our fear and our worry, and to experience curiosity and wonder. May God's Spirit awaken us to our call in this community and beyond. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.